Chapter 35. I wake in the dark, wedged in a hard corner. The floor beneath me is smooth and cold. I touch my throbbing head, and liquid slips across my fingertips. Red blood. When I bring my hand back down, my elbow hits a wall. Where am I? A light flickers above me. The bulb is blue and dim when it's lit. I see the walls of a tank around me, and my shadowed reflection across from me. The room is small, with concrete walls and no windows, and I am alone in it. Well, almost. A small video camera is attached to one of the concrete walls. I see a small opening near my feet. Connected to it is a tube, and connected to the tube in the corner of the room is a huge tank. The trembling starts in my fingertips and spreads up my arms, and soon my body is shuddering. I'm not in a simulation this time. My right arm is numb. When I push myself out of the corner, I see a pool of blood where I was sitting. I can't panic now. I stand, leaning against a wall, and breathe. The worst thing that can happen to me now is that I drown in this tank. I press my forehead to the glass and laugh. That is the worst thing I can imagine. My laugh turns into a sob. If I refuse to give up now, it will look braver to whoever watches me with that camera. But sometimes, it isn't fighting that's brave. It's facing the death you know is coming. I sob into the glass. I'm not afraid of dying, but I want to die a different way, any other way. It is better to scream than cry. So I scream and slam my heel into the wall behind me. My foot bounces off and I kick again, so hard my heel throbs. I kick again and again and again, then pull back and throw my left shoulder into the wall. The impact makes the wound in my right shoulder burn like it got stuck with a hot poker. Water trickles into the bottom of the tank. The video camera means they're watching me. No, studying me, as only the erudite would. To see if my reaction in reality matches my reaction in the simulation. To prove that I'm a coward. I uncurl my fists and drop my hands. I am not a coward. I lift my head and stare at the camera across from me. If I focus on breathing, I can forget that I'm about to die. I stare at the camera until my vision narrows, and it is all I see. Water tickles my ankles, then my calves, then my thighs. It rises over my fingertips. I breathe in, I breathe out. The water is soft and feels like silk. I breathe in. The water will wash my wounds clean. I breathe out. My mother submerged me in water when I was a baby, to give me to God. It has been a long time since I thought about God, but I think about him now. It is only natural. I am glad, suddenly, that I shot Eric in the foot instead of the head. My body rises with the water. Instead of kicking my feet to stay abreast of it, I push all the air from my lungs and sink to the bottom. The water muffles my ears. I feel its movement over my face. I think about snorting the water into my lungs so it kills me faster, but I can't bring myself to do it. I blow bubbles from my mouth. Relax. I close my eyes. My lungs burn. I let my hands float up to the top of the tank. I let the water fold me in its silken arms. When I was young, my father used to hold me over his head and run with me so I felt like I was flying. I remember how the air felt, gliding over my body. And I am not afraid. I open my eyes. A dark figure stands in front of me. I must be close to death if I'm seeing things. Pain stabs my lungs. Suffocating is painful. A palm presses to the glass in front of my face, and for a moment, as I stare through the water, I think I see my mother's blurry face. I hear a bang, and the glass cracks. Water sprays out a hole near the top of the tank, and the pane cracks in half. I turn away as the glass shatters, and the force of the water throws my body at the ground. I gasp, swallowing water as well as air, and cough, and gasp again, and hands close around my arms, and I hear her voice. Beatrice, she says, Beatrice, we have to run. She pulls my arm across her shoulders and hauls me to my feet. She is dressed like my mother, and she looks like my mother, but she is holding a gun. And the determined look in her eyes is unfamiliar to me. I stumble beside her over broken glass and through water and out an open doorway. Dauntless guards lie dead next to the door. My feet slip and slide on the tile as we walk down the hallway as fast as my weak legs can muster. When we turn the corner, she fires at the two guards standing by the door at the end. The bullets hit them both in the head, and they slump to the floor. She pushes me against the wall and takes off her gray jacket. She wears a sleeveless shirt. When she lifts her arm, I see the corner of a tattoo under her armpit. No wonder she never changed clothes in front of me. "Mom," I say, my voice strained. "You were dauntless." "Yes," she says, smiling. She makes her jacket into a sling for my arm, tying the sleeves around my neck. "And it has served me well today. Your father and Caleb and some others are hiding in a basement at the intersection of North and Fairfield. We have to go get them." I stare at her. I sat next to her at the kitchen table, twice a day, for 16 years. And never once did I consider the possibility that she could have been anything but abnegation born. How well did I actually know my mother? "There will be time for questions," she says. She lifts her shirt and slips a gun from under the waistband of her pants, offering it to me. Then she touches my cheek. "Now, we must go." She runs to the end of the hallway, and I run after her. We are in the basement of Abnegation headquarters. My mother has worked there for as long as I can remember, so I'm not surprised when she leads me down a few dark hallways, up a dank staircase, and into daylight again without interference. How many dauntless guards did she shoot before she found me? "How did you know to find me?" I say. "I've been watching the train since the attack started," she replies, glancing over her shoulder at me. "I didn't know what I would do when I found you, but it was always my intention to save you." My throat feels tight. "But I betrayed you. I left you. You're my daughter. I don't care about the factions." She shakes her head. "Look where they got us. Human beings as a whole cannot be good for long before the bad creeps back in and poisons us again." She stops where the alley intersects with the road. I know now isn't the time for conversation, but there is something I need to know. "Mom, how do you know about divergence?" I ask. "What is it? Why?" She pushes the bullet chamber open and peers inside, seeing how many bullets she has left, then takes a few out of her pocket and reloads. I recognize her expression as the one she wears when she threads a needle. "I know about them because I am one," she says as she shoves a bullet in place. "I was only safe because my mother was a dauntless leader. On choosing day, she told me to leave my faction and find a safer one. I chose abnegation." She puts an extra bullet in her pocket and stands up straighter. "But I wanted you to make the choice on your own." "I don't understand why we're such a threat to the leaders." "Every faction conditions its members to think and act a certain way, and most people do it. For most people, it's not hard to learn, to find a pattern of thought that works and stay that way." She touches my uninjured shoulder and smiles. "But our minds move in a dozen different directions. We can't be confined to one way of thinking. And that terrifies our leaders. It means we can't be controlled, and it means that no matter what they do, we will always cause trouble for them." I feel like someone breathed new air into my lungs. I am not abnegation. I am not dauntless. I am divergent, and I can't be controlled. "Here they come," she says, looking around the corner. I peek over her shoulder and see a few dauntless with guns, moving to the same beat, heading toward us. My mother looks back. Far behind us, another group of dauntless run down the alley toward us, moving in time with one another. She grabs my hands and looks me in the eyes. I watch her long eyelashes move as she blinks. I wish I had something of hers in my small, plain face, but at least I have something of hers in my brain. "Go to your father and brother. The alley on the right, down to the basement. Knock twice, then three times, then six times." She cups my cheeks. Her hands are cold. Her palms are rough. "I'm going to distract them. You have to run as fast as you can." No, I shake my head. I'm not going anywhere without you. She smiles. Be brave, Beatrice. I love you. I feel her lips on my forehead, and then she runs into the middle of the street. She holds her gun above her head and fires 3 times into the air. The Dauntless start running. I sprint across the street and into the alley. As I run, I look over my shoulder to see if any Dauntless follow me. But my mother fires into the crowd of guards, and they are too focused on her to notice me. I whip my head over my shoulder when I hear them fire back. My feet falter and stop. My mother stiffens, her back arching. Blood surges from a wound in her abdomen, dyeing her shirt crimson. A patch of blood spreads over her shoulder. I blink, and the violent red stains the inside of my eyelids. I blink again, and I see her smile as she sweeps my hair trimmings into a pile. She falls, first to her knees, her hands limp at her sides, and then to the pavement, slumped to the side like a rag doll. She is motionless and without breath. I clamp my hand over my mouth and scream into my palm. My cheeks are hot and wet with tears I didn't feel beginning. My blood cries out that it belongs to her and struggles to return to her, and I hear her words in my mind as I run, telling me to be brave. Pain stabs through me as everything I am made of collapses, my entire world dismantled in a moment. The pavement scrapes my knees. If I lie down now, this can all be done. Maybe Eric was right, and choosing death is like exploring an unknown, uncertain place. I feel Tobias brushing my hair back before the first simulation. I hear him telling me to be brave. I hear my mother telling me to be brave. The Dauntless soldiers turn, as if moved by the same mind. Somehow, I get up and start running. I am brave.